Good morning. You're listening to PSA Today, a community forum for public affairs hosted by Jessica Levity for Wilkes Broadcast Group in Reno. The purpose of this 30-minute show is to give a platform to our local community builders and to promote public service. So sit back, relax, and learn what your fellow citizens are up to.
Good morning and welcome to PSA Today. I'm your host, Jessica Levity. With me on today's show, I have Action Leader Betty Bishop and Reverend Neil Anderson. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me, Betty, what is ACTION? And that's ACTION with two N's.
Yes. ACTION is Acting in Community Together in Organizing Northern Nevada.
And what makes you an ACTION leader?
I was chosen to be an ACTION leader probably because they thought that with my background that and my interest in social justice causes, that this was probably a good fit for me to be involved in ACTION.
So what does ACTION do?
ACTION is comprised of 43 faith communities and other organizations, and we do focus on social justice issues or common threads that we all have that we share in common, and trying to support those most in need here in Northern Nevada. And we find out what the needs are through the leaders going out in their communities, talking, doing one-to-ones with people, building relationships, and finding out what pains people, what gives them sleepless nights, and yet what they feel is good about our community. But then that's where we decide what kind of campaigns that we're going to work on.
I love it. ACTION is one of my favorite local organizations. I think you're so practical, and you make very real change.
Yeah, and for us, many faith communities work hard on direct service, which is very important. And what ACTION does is we then work on not direct service, but on working to change policy that will make people's lives better in Northern Nevada.
I love it. So we are here today to talk about a specific campaign that ACTION has taken on.
That's correct. So we are a part of the Committee to Raise the Minimum Wage in Nevada, and we are part of a coalition that will be working on a ballot measure to begin to raise the minimum wage.
Betty, you want to talk more about it?
Currently, the minimum wage in Nevada is $8.25 an hour. Or $7.25 an hour if the employer pays insurance. And this measure or initiative would raise that rate to $9.25 in late 2018 and increase it by 75 cents per year until it reaches $13 in 2024.
So what do you need from the community?
So what we will start to do is to engage in the petition campaign. So that is a campaign where people from ACTION will be going door to door to ask people to endorse the campaign to have this ballot measure on the ballot in the next election. So it's going to be helpful to have people volunteer to do signature collecting, as well as consider the importance of raising the minimum wage. You know, we know that the cost of groceries, the cost of housing, the cost of basics have gone up year after year after year, and our minimum wage has simply not kept pace. I, as a religious leader in Northern Nevada, hear from so many individuals that are struggling, and these are, you know, adults, mostly with children, who are struggling to make ends meet in their house. It's not that they're not working. In fact, some are working two or three jobs, all at the minimum wage, just to eke out enough to ensure that they can support their children. For example, it is so disheartening to have people come to my office to see me asking for help because they just simply cannot make ends meet, and it really breaks my heart. So this is a small measure to start to begin to raise that minimum wage to provide dignity to the cooks and the house cleaners and other service workers in our tourism industry, etc., so that they can work to provide for their children.
So what is next between getting the word out? Do you have events coming up, awareness campaigns? What are we doing?
So at this point, we're simply starting with this, talking to folks in the media. We will be then looking to collect people's support, both through signatures and through having people volunteer with us.
So how can people get involved?
By calling action, if they want to, they can call action and just, or go on the website and email action, letting them know that they're interested in volunteering. And we need to gather $55,000, just a little above $55,000 here, or dollars, signatures in Nevada before June 21st. So
okay.
It's imperative that we get out there and work hard and gather those signatures.
One of the other ways that people can learn more about the issues of economic, racial, and environmental justice in Nevada is to attend the Real Solutions to Real Problems Summit. And that will be taking place on Saturday, February 13th from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Check-in is at 8:30. It's going to be at the University of Nevada, Reno in the Jot Travis Building. It's free admission, parking, and lunch with registration. And all you have to do to register is to contact Action. You can contact ARIA at action with two N's .org or call 775-453-6137 to participate in the Real Solutions to Real Problem Summit. And minimum wage will be one of the topics that will be discussed on that day.
Awesome. Do either of you know where the number came from? So, like, how did we decide that 925 or whatever was the number we needed to get to, and then we're going to build by 75 cents a year?
I think that's a real difficult decision for people to make as we look at various minimum wage actions across the country. We hear about particularly fast food workers and what they're asking for in terms of a raise to a raise in the minimum wage. What was important for this coalition was winning. We want to ensure that this ballot measure will be successful. And therefore, by setting the minimum wage as we did with slight increases, it allows businesses and employers to make plans through the year to ensure that they're ready for each small step in the minimum wage as it goes up over the years till 2024 when we reach $13 an hour. So it was really important for us to take something that was pragmatic in the sense that it has a good, an excellent likelihood of winning in our ballot measure.
Can you tell me, is it the business owner who's quote-unquote negatively affected? Are they the only one who wouldn't want this bill to pass?
Well, for me, I simply want the bill to pass because I think that, or the ballot measure to pass because I think that a raise in the minimum wage is simply a moral issue.
Yeah.
That it is immoral to allow people to work jobs and not have enough money at the end of the day to support families. And so this is one way for us in religious communities, as Betty and I are, to stand up and say that we want to change an immoral system that doesn't allow people to support themselves and particularly to support their children. So I look at it as immoral, and this action is a moral action to create a more likelihood that people can make ends meet.
So who wouldn't want the bill to pass? Oh, go ahead, Betty. Come on.
Well, I was just going to dovetail on what he was saying about the moral issue of this. I mean, it's just heart-wrenching to find single moms here living in motel rooms with having small children in those motel rooms simply because they are working hard.
Right.
But they, because they aren't only getting minimum wage and maybe they're working two jobs. But within those two jobs, they really don't get 40 hours a week on either one of those jobs. So they're working so hard. By the end of the month, there's food scarcity. It is a moral issue. I think it's immoral to have a situation here when we know that we can change it.
That we know that we can pay people a living wage.
Yeah. Well, we're not even talking about a living wage. We're talking
We're talking about a minimum wage and not a living wage. That would be another lift.
Okay.
In the future, absolutely.
So what's the difference?
Well, in Northern Nevada, if we were to calculate a minimum wage, or sorry, a living wage, it would be $24 an hour, and that is calculated by research agencies in the United States to say this is what a family would need to provide all of the necessities of life, based upon a calculation. A minimum wage is simply the legal definition of what employers are by law mandated to pay their employees.
Okay. And so, again, who in theory wouldn't want to raise the minimum wage?
Well, in my theory, no, I don't think anybody would be resistant.
Okay, so there's no reason we shouldn't make this happen.
To raise the minimum wage. I don't think there is many arguments that could be made to suggest that this isn't a good idea at this particular point in time.
There's been quite a few research studies that indicate that when the minimum wage is increased, that it doesn't really put people out of work. Actually, it stimulates the economy some. People are going to spend that money.
Right.
And in some ways, the taxpayers, because they're not having to pay so much out for food stamps and everything, because people are able to make it on their own. It gives them that dignity rather than always having to have their hand out for charity.
Right.
We always think about Henry Ford, who was the early factory owner who built cars, motor vehicles. And as a business owner, he always thought it was important to pay his employees much over minimum wage, because he figured that if they couldn't make enough money building cars, they wouldn't be able to buy a car. And he wanted them to buy cars because he needed a market to sell those cars. So, so there are many reasons that he saw as important to ensure that his employees were paid handsomely.
I love it. So when you guys knock on our door to sign the petition, there's no reason not to sign it.
No, there's no reason not to sign it.
Betty, you got something on your mind. I can smell it.
Well, there's some top economists that have said that actually raising the minimum wage will stimulate the economy.
Got it. All right. So when are you guys going out and getting these signatures, and when do you need volunteers?
So we'll be starting in the next few weeks. We had to overcome one hurdle, which was to get the ballot measure certified. So that should be happening within the next week, and we should be on the streets in about a week or two to come. And so folks can look out for signature gathers both in northern and southern Nevada.
Awesome. Betty, anything you want to add before we go? All right. I want to say thanks to Reverend Neil. You got something?
No, thank you very much for having us here this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you to Betty. And thank you for listening. Don't go anywhere, because we're going to be right back with the Reno Jazz Orchestra.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to PSA Today. On the second half of today's show, I've got the music director from Reno Jazz Orchestra, Chuck.
Hi, Jess. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, and thanks for having me here today.
Tell me everything about Reno Jazz Orchestra.
Well, I'd like to tell you everything, but I'm going to give you the short version.
Okay.
We are a nonprofit. We got started in 1998, and our mission is to provide the greatest big band performances that we can. So we have a professional big band, musicians. That means 17 musicians.
Wow.
We got 5 saxes, 4 trombones, 4 trumpets, piano, bass, guitar, drums, And we bring in guest artists from all over the world. I mean, the world-class guest artists. And we also feature our local artists. So you could hear on our new CD, the singers there are all from town. That's a homegrown CD. All the folks are local, and it's pretty good.
Where was the album produced?
It was recorded at Sand Harbor in the amphitheater up there. And we had it was a one-night recording. And I wasn't going to make a CD out of it, but when I listened to the tracks, the rough tracks, the rhythm section was cooking. It was
Yeah,
I said, we can do something with this. So Tom Gordon at Mirage, yes, he was the recording engineer. And so this past summer, we put the CD together, and it's now available for public consumption.
Good for you. I love hearing you music guys talk about good music. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just in your zone. I love it. Yeah. So how are you guys getting funding? Is it grants? Is it all fundraising?
All of the above. So we receive grants from the state and from the city of Reno. And one of the events that I'll talk about is partially funded by the city of Reno. So I want to thank them. There's foundations that help us. We have an organization. Well, our private donors, we like to call the Band of 100. So 100 folks that donate at least $100 a year. And then ticket sales. So, our events, some of our events are free, like our Art Town event is free, and then other events are ticketed.
Okay. So what are we promoting today?
Well, we're busy in February. So February 6th, we're going to have it's called Jazz in the Schools. And I told you the first part of our mission was big band performances. The other part of the mission is to educate our students here in Washoe County, Northern Nevada, about jazz, because everybody in the band is very passionate about jazz, and we want to share what we know and pass it on to the next generation. So having said that, we've had a Jazz in the Schools since about 2000. This is like our 15th or 16th annual event. We invite all the school bands, jazz bands, to come perform at Nightingale Hall. So this year we have 15 middle school and high school big bands, jazz bands, performing, which is that's very exciting just in itself. But we also, through our sponsors and our donors, we can afford to bring some clinicians from, world-class clinicians who work, who listen to the performance of the band, of the school band. And then the school band and the clinician goes into the band room at UNR, and the clinician works with them. That's hard to say.
No, it is hard to say, but you're rocking it, and I'm loving this. What an amazing experience for that band.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, we've been doing it for about 15 years. And when we first got started, jazz, the kids were playing okay. I mean, it was okay. But you can hear now that the middle schools that come in and play sound like what the high schools used to sound like 5-6 years ago. And the high schools are just blossoming.
We need that.
Yeah. I always promote jazz because that is America's music. I think if it's an original American invention. So I really like to promote that aspect of it as well.
Amen to that. Can you talk about your history? Like, because at one time you were a kid learning jazz.
Yes, I was. Believe it or not, not looking at me now, you'd think that. But yes, I was. So I'm a trombone player. And I started in the fourth grade, elementary school, and have been playing ever since. It's been many, 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 many years. I really didn't get into jazz until I went to college to earn a music degree. And that's when I got exposed to jazz, and I fell in love with it. There's the language of jazz. So, music is a language, a universal language, and there's all these different dialects. There's classical music, there's rock, there's funk, there's jazz. And so it's kind of fun. It was fun for me to learn the language, the dialect. So
I love
you have
this.
There's a way that jazz musicians play the notes, how they feel the notes, and then when they improvise, there's that whole thing that you have to understand when somebody's playing a solo. You start recognizing things that if you weren't really familiar with the dialect, you might not understand. It might sound like noise or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you get into it, you hear what he's saying or she is saying.
Ooh, that gave me goosebumps. I love this. I'm an improviser,
okay.
but I improvise comedy. and it's my passion. I'm a junkie. I can't get enough. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I just watched this interesting TED Talk about this brain guy, this neuro guy, did an MRI of improvisers to see which part of the brain lights up, and it's the same part of the brain that lights up when you're meditating.
Oh, wow, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
So there is something happening.
Oh, yeah, your brain's busy. I can guarantee you, if you're taking a solo, your brain's pretty busy.
Yeah, but you're also, like, surrendering, kind of, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the greatest all-time jazz musicians, John Coltrane, that's how he expressed it. He would practice, you know, to be a good musician, you don't just step up and start playing. It's like if you're going to be in the Olympics. You train, you practice 4 8-hour a day. I mean, it's what you do to get in shape to perform. And John Coltrane was obsessive about his practicing. He would be playing a show. There'd be a 15-minute break. He'd be practicing stuff. But what he would say was that, not to me personally, but what I read, is that he would lose that whole, it wasn't him playing the instrument anymore. It was there was this higher power just kind of guiding him. He was not in control anymore. And it just would come out.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I've gotten us off track a little bit, but I love the way this conversation is going. So we can get back to you and your journey into jazz. We can also get back to the events that you have coming up in February, because you said February is packed.
Yeah. We're very busy. So I talked to you about the jazz in the schools during the day. So that starts at 10 in the morning and is going to go all the way to 6:15. That tells you how many. And plus there's 4 or 5 jazz combos. So there's actually about 19 groups coming to play. So, but in the evening, we're doing something new. We're having an evening concert, and we're going to feature a legendary trombonist. His name is Bill Watrous. He really was one of those guys that sort of changed the shape of how you play the instrument. And when I was young, I said, man, how do you do that? And so he's coming up to perform with us, and then a gentleman by the name of Gary Irwin, who did all the arrangements that they were going to perform. So the music that we're reading, Gary wrote it and will rehearse us. That is in the evening at 7:30 at Nightingale Hall. That's a $20 ticket, general seating. That's a pretty good price
for what you're getting.
Yeah, so I did want to promote that. We also have a new CD. I don't know if you want to talk about that now.
Heck yeah.
Okay, cool.
Let's talk about it.
All righty. Well, I told you it was recorded at Sand Harbor. What I didn't tell you was that it was raining. And now, if you've ever been to Sand Harbor at the amphitheater, there's no roof, there's no nothing, right? So it was raining all day. And here we go. We go up there, and then we're waiting. It's raining. Oh, boy. At 4 o'clock, it stopped raining. All the equipment went out. We're setting it up. Okay, we're going to go. It starts raining. The executive director for Shakespeare Festival, who runs Sand Harbor, goes, well, we have these patio umbrellas and we have some tents that we can put up. They put it over the band. The audience can't see it, but you can see a picture on the back of the CD.
You're playing under umbrellas.
We're playing under umbrellas, and that's the miracle. One of the miracles of the CD is how well the band performed in those circumstances. And the audience that stuck around, because they were getting rained on. They were in parkas. They were loving it.
I bet.
There was party going on.
Jazz in the rain.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like jazz from the sky.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we produced this. It's for sale now on our website, renojazzorchestra.org. But we're having a CD release party. That's kind of why I'm here. What's one of the reasons why I'm here. And that is February 27th at the Nugget in the Celebrity Showroom.
Cool. It's a great sounding room.
Yeah, well, it's always like old home week because I moved up to Reno to play in the showrooms. So Harrah's, Caesar's when it was Caesar's, the Sahara, Harrah's. But anyway, the Nugget was a part of that. And so I go back on stage there, and I remember back when, you know, so it's kind of fun to come play in a casino showroom again.
I love it. And how can people, you said you can get tickets to that online.
Yeah, those tickets you buy at the Nugget website.
NuggetCasinoResort.com.
Yeah, and then you'll see events up on the top. You click on that, and then you'll drill down and find our show. And if you buy tickets, which are only $20, you will get a $5 discount on the CD. So if you show up and pay $20, you only have to pay $10 for the CD.
That's a steal.
It's highway robbery.
How can we catch you guys throughout the rest of the year? Do you have regular gigs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So after the CD release party, we'll be doing, usually our season starts more in the summer.
Okay.
So this summer, we're going to be playing, and the other thing that's cool about jazz, it's so diverse. So we're doing funk. We have a jazz trombonist coming up. So in July for Art Town, we're going to do an evening of Duke Ellington. Mm. So the first half is sort of his greatest hits. And one thing I love about Ellington, sort of like Stevie Wonder or some other greats, they're popular, but they write beautiful music, classy music, and sometimes it's not real simple music, but it's always accessible. So the public can relate to it and they enjoy it. Duke was a master of that. So the first half of our concert for Wingfield Park, and that's July 30th. It's the last Saturday in July, and that's free. The second half is a suite that he wrote called Such Sweet Thunder, and it's a tribute. It's his take on Shakespeare. Hmm. So there's 12 little short pieces. Each piece represents a Shakespeare play. We're going to have Shakespearean actors do 1 or 2 minutes before each one of these pieces of the suite. And we did this several years ago on the roof of the museum, and it is, I'll just say in Reno, it's a hoot.
Yeah.
It's really, what I really dug about it was I was familiar with the music, but when you hear the words and then you hear how Duke responds to those words, it's like, wow.
You know, you hear it.
You hear it, you get it. Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I love what you guys are doing. So your website again, renojazzorchestra.org.
.org, that's me.
Follow
that's
along. Us. I know you guys have a Facebook page as well.
Yes, we do.
Anything else you want to add, Chuck?
Well, I welcome the audience to come visit us and support the arts community. The Jazz Orchestra, we strongly feel we're a part of the community.
Yeah.
Right? And we want to serve the community. And we want to get to meet the folks in our community. And without the support of the community, not just in dollars, but in showing up in all sorts of volunteers, all those sort of things, we'd be practicing at home. So I would invite you all for the free concert for sure, July 30th. We have several later in the year, but I know we're getting short on time. February 6th and February 27th. Keep those dates in mind, and we'd love to see you. And if you do from this interview, you come down and see us. Come talk to me. I'm Chuck, and I'd like to meet you.
Awesome. Thanks, Chuck. If you know a nonprofit event or organization that would benefit from some time on air with me, you can email me at publicaffairs@wilksreno.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Hi, I'm Lynn Warney, president of the Nevada State Education Association. The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. Hi, I'm Lynn Warney, president of the Nevada State Education Association. Dr. Seuss was right. Reading is the key to learning. Studies have shown that kids who read and are read too do better in school and in life. The best part is, it doesn't matter what you read, the classics or the comics. Whatever sparks a student's interest, football, dance, trains, there's a book about it just waiting to be read, a door just waiting to open. And if your student hasn't found the joy of reading yet, try thinking outside the book. Read baseball cards together. Try doing crossword puzzles or word games, or have your child read a favorite recipe to you. They read, you measure the chocolate chips. Encouraging a love of reading now is a gift that pays off over a lifetime. So go read and help a child succeed.
A message from the Nevada State Education Association.
So yesterday I was in the park and I just happened to run into this guy named Mike who served in Iraq. I served in Vietnam as a Marine. Then he asked,
"So I've been feeling down, having a hard time. Now does it get any better?"
It will get better. Paralyzed Veterans of America will help you. They helped me get my health care and VA benefits and rebuild my life.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit pva.org.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.